My name is Rebecca Paredes, and this is A Helpful Heart, where we spread love and helpfulness by bringing you all the info about different organizations and projects from people like you and me, and where to get involved. Learning on an empty stomach is difficult enough, but can you imagine what it's like for some students that have to pick a book between a meal or over a meal? That's crazy, right? The Stash Club here at Pierce is trying to change that with a food pantry on campus. On today's show, we have President Juan Ornelas and Vice President Jordan Rice. Hey, guys.
Hello. How's everyone doing?
Hi. How are you guys? Thank you for having us.
Thank you for coming, guys. I'm so excited. Okay. So, let's start. Okay. Can you give our audience a little more background about the Stash Club, Juan?
So the background of the Stash Club is Stash stands for Students Against Student Hunger, and its purpose is to help feed the homeless population here at Pierce. So many don't know, but there's about 150 students here registered as homeless, according to the financial aid office, and that's only people who are willing to admit they're homeless. So what we basically do is provide free meals to students in need, and they just have to come to our room and get the food they need. So background of how the Stash Club came to be was I always wanted to help or do something like in the community that would make an impact, and I didn't know how until me and my professor, he was my professor at that moment for philosophy, and we were just doing like ethical issues, and there was a lot of like going on in the news, so I was like, this is the perfect time to jump in. So we saw an issue that no one was addressing, and we addressed it, and I really felt like I needed to do something, because like I know how blessed I am to have everything I have, and I know some people aren't as fortunate, so I wanted to give back in any way possible, and I thought this was the perfect way.
All right, so the issue you are tackling is?
Student hunger and okay. Student homelessness.
And how were you informed other than like your teacher, your professor telling you about this?
Well,
How was he informed?
Well, we just kept reading articles and articles about it, because it was during summer. That summer, there was a bunch of articles printed that the UCs had an issue with that, and they started food banks. So we wanted to do something similar to that. And we thought, if they have that issue, we must have that issue, especially because we have so many non-traditional students that go here.
Right. How long has the club been up and running?
It's going to be 2 semesters now. So we started last fall. Yeah.
What year?
2016.
Okay.
Fall 2016.
This is for people that will hear this from years from now, so they know.
Right. Sorry.
It's cool. Don't be sorry. How did you come up with the idea of a food pantry? Like, what inspired you to open a food pantry?
Well, I think the club as a whole, its main goal was to open a food pantry. So that idea was already with us when we started the club, like that we needed to start a food pantry, because that would just open so many doors for so many people in order to get food to get like necessary things they needed. So the idea of a food pantry was already there with the beginning of the club. It was just a matter of getting it, you know, to be what we wanted it to be.
All right. And that's how it got started. How did you tell your people, or your friends, not people, my bad, that, hey guys, I want to start a club? Or how did you get your friends to help you out?
Well, originally I was part of ASO already, so, and they're the student government here, so I introduced that idea with them, and they were really supportive, and like, they're like, yeah, you should do it. So there was really not an issue getting it started or anything. It was just progressing that was really hard, just taking the extra steps and whatnot, but yeah, the students here reacted well, and they all helped. All of them helped, basically.
How did you tell your VP, Jordan?
Well, we knew each other from high school, and Jordan's a pretty social guy if you don't know him. We always talked, and I was like, oh, I'm starting up with this club, you should join. And he, like, hopped on it. The first semester, he was really busy with school, which I understand. Like, he first comes school and then everything else, not exactly that, but like first put school first instead of like extras. But the second semester, like we have kind of the same classes, so we worked out a schedule, and then he really was enthusiastic about it, and he hopped on and always been helping since, and now he's vice president of the club.
Wow. So how did you feel when he gave you, well, not gave you, but like he told you about this idea, and how was your reaction to the idea?
You know, it's interesting just because I'm at a point where I study people and I try to figure out like what's the path to success, right? Mm-hmm. A big concept that comes up is like surrounding yourself with people that you actually want to be like you are a product of your environment. And it was just cool to see that I had a friend and somebody that was already so close that was thinking on the level of things that, and acting on the things that I was thinking about as far as like acting in the community. So I took that, you know, I hadn't taken action on this yet, but this was an opportunity to build on somebody else's dream, be able to learn the process and add value somewhere, not only to my friend, but also to the community as well. So it was just, you know, follow through. Like you say, you want to be something, you actually go for it. So I just saw that door and I wanted to walk through it.
Okay. And then previously we had a talk and you compared Juan to Tony Robbins, right? So tell the audience more about that, because I got to hear it, but I want them to hear it.
Yeah. I watch way too many YouTube videos for success, but he's one of those people that actually talks about that idea. And Tony Robbins, his whole story was basically that he started, you know, poor, struggling. His father had left. His mother was struggling just to try to provide. But he was in that position of lack and scarcity, but he found it within himself to focus on abundance, focus on the things that he did have. And he started very small and was giving out meals by himself one Thanksgiving. Then he brought his friends into it, and the next year they were handing out more plates, and it built over the years, focusing on, you know, on the positive as opposed to the negatives. And now we have the super success guru that is the master of business and, you know, social network and this and that, but all that started with giving out food. And I just saw that connection. But I mean, it's just a matter of like focusing on abundance. Yeah, I actually said it himself, like he was focusing, like he felt grateful. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's a very important thing to have if you want to be successful, but also if you want to be able to give to somebody else. It's like you bring everybody else out of that mindset too. So being able to provide for that. But yeah,
your voices and responses sound so much better than mine.
So how do you feel about it, how do you feel about him comparing you to Tony Robbins?
I don't know. I never thought of it that way.
I'm the deep philosophical friend in this TV show, so.
Yeah. So, back to you, Juan. How long was the process? The whole process
of getting the club?
Yeah, of getting the club and everything. And the food.
I mean, it wasn't really that long, maybe a month, just because like I was already in ASO, so I knew the proper steps of forming a club and like the connections I needed to talk to start the club. So the process of forming a club was like a month, but getting the food itself, that was a process of a whole semester, I feel like. Because the way we obtained the food, so around campus we set up box drives, and so all the food we got was
located from, where?
They were located everywhere. You could, okay. Like in the counseling center, the child center, just everywhere around campus, basically, where we thought that there would be a lot of foot traffic.
Okay.
So that food that we obtained was from like people having excess amount of food and feeling the need to give to others. So that's what I'm really proud of, the food we obtained. So we obtained a lot of food. That was our main goal of obtaining. So we also did some fundraising to get that food. And it was only, I think it was like $100 to get to fundraise to get that food. But like 90% of our food comes from people giving us donations. So that was a process of a whole semester, yeah.
Okay, and then with everything, finding the room, how did you get that? Did they have to like approve the room for you to actually start the club? Or how does that work?
So the room itself is Professor Zlay's office, our club advisor. So when he doesn't do office hours, we usually stay in there and wait for anyone to come and get food. So no one really approved of it. So,
okay.
So it's just an office with food right now.
All right, cool. And other than you two, of course, you guys were mentioning Professor Lay. So you guys want to give us more information about Professor Lay and how he's influenced you and how he's helped you guys? You can go first, Juan.
Okay. Well, Professor Lay, I mean, he's kind of a role model to me now at this point, because I took his Philosophy 5 class. I didn't know what to expect in the beginning. I just thought he dressed like Indiana Jones.
But I know, he dresses really cool.
Yeah, but everything, like, he's really passionate about certain things, and that just, like, made me open my eyes a little and made me think a little more. And, I don't know, he just influenced me in a big way. Just, he's always trying to help and whatnot, and I wanted kind of to be like him, I guess.
Okay. And you, Jordan?
Yeah, he was, for, you know, before Stash, he was just, like, the guy who dressed like Indiana Jones that I always see around. But he's also a role model for me as well, but also somebody that I'm observing critically, just because he has a depth of character that, you know, like we were talking about before this interview started, is just that he does leave something to be desired. So he's, in addition to the good things that he does to does for us and the guidance that he provides, I would consider him like a friend, as like a fellow old soul, but he's a great man.
All right.
What? So smooth. He's so smooth.
Like butter.
So, with the Stash Club, how many members are there right now? Like, in the actual club? Not going to the pantry, but to the club.
The club?
Yes.
So, on our email list, we have over 100 people, like, on our email list. But of those hundreds who actually come to the meeting, I guess we have an average of, I think we have 6 people that show up to, like, every meeting. 6 to 10, usually. Okay. Yeah.
Right. And what are the different roles in the Stash Club? As you being president and vice president, what are the other roles?
We also, so like officer spots. So there's vice president, president, secretary, and treasurer. Yeah. But most of the people that show up, because there's usually 6 people that show up. So we all just brainstorm ideas on how we can improve the club and what's next for the club. Like last club, we talked about our next event, which is an open mic night, May 17th from 6 to 9, which Jordan Rice is all organizing. All right. So, because he saw his answers, he's very poetic and stuff. So that's all him. But, we just work up to events, basically. So, like, the week we returned to spring break, we had a paper plate event. I don't know if you heard of it. But that was a really big success with us. Like, a lot of people helped, and we got a bunch of... So the paper plate event was you write on a plate what you can't do when you're hungry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that was for awareness, for student awareness. But we got, like, over 100... No, we got, like, 100 plates, yeah.
At least,
yeah. So people were really into it and, like, helped us. And we're going to read those plates on the open mic night is the big thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was a great way for us to do a little outreach and get face-to-face with people. We were, I don't know, are we privy to this? Is this confidential information as far as our new techniques? what we were just talking about, I was having a personal phone call, but as I was briefed in, what we're going to try to do is actually bring some of the food out so that we can actually be face-to-face with people, because it's one thing to say, like, hey, come to this place at this time, out of the way, and not in the moment when I have you in front of me, but if we can engage people in the moment, we'll be able to open up a little bit more of those doors. But it was cool to give our mission statement, but they could also look us in the eye and see that we're actually trying to provide, you know, actually provide for people, but it's the empathy, too, as far as the message that we're getting across with the plates, because people are reading it and it's like, oh, I'm not the only one that feels this way. And that's alleviating the shame as well, that, like, everybody does feel this way, which is part of the mission.
Was there, like, any certain quotes on a plate that, like, got to you guys? Did you read them?
We didn't read them. You're just like, now let's throw them in the bag. Somebody actually got really deep on us. It was like, I feel empty when I don't eat, and that kind of hit hard. And it's the things that you would expect. I mean, like, I feel like we've seen that Snickers commercial or that Kit Kat commercial.
Like, not you when you're hungry.
Yeah, like you when you're hungry. But, like, it actually, you know, affects your quality of living, but it's such a intricate thing that it's really, really easy for us to take it for granted. But just saying, like, you know, you can't study, but then you think, okay, why is your GPA like this, or why are you struggling in school? It's literally because some people don't have those resources.
Yeah.
So just getting outside of the matrix, kind of getting outside of yourself a little bit, you say, okay, if I was hungry, like actually starving, or if I, you know, I was in pain, this would be something real. So it enabled us, I think, just because we had the idea, we were talking about it, we could go into that, but it allowed other people to kind of get into that mindset as well. It's like, wow, it's a real thing.
For me, I think, not the quote itself, but just, so I was working the booth, that paper plate booth, and like a parent came with her child, and like her child like was really cute. And it's like, oh, so like the child, like she asked what the child can't do when you're hungry. It's like, oh, I know you can't cry. I mean, you can't sleep because you cry when you're hungry. And I just thought that was really cute. And I thought that was like, I don't know.
That's something that got you.
Yeah.
Yeah, right in the feels.
So what are your duties as president?
I mean, specifically or just like overall?
Overall, specifically, whatever you want to say.
Okay, so overall, just I guess overseeing everything. So like making sure emails are sent out, make sure we organize the club meetings right, and events like that, delegating work. But I think that's pretty much it. But sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much all the duties. They're not too hard, but it's does take a lot of time.
Yeah. How did you make Jordan your VP?
It was all voted on. So the club voted him as VP.
And you were like, oh my God, thank you.
Oh my gosh, thank you.
How does it like becoming VP and for people to actually pick you to become VP?
It feels really good. And this whole process just with this club has kind of just been like I said, a journey and like follow through in action. So being that this is also my friend but also a great cause, I feel that good fire under your butt where like you need to follow through, you need to do the things that you know, you're saying you're doing, and it's just a quality challenge, if that makes sense. All like right. Just rising to the occasion, so it feels good.
Sorry. And what are your duties as VP?
My duties are, well, it's a, I don't know. I feel like I just, I come in and I participate in the discussions as far as like generating ideas, and I brainstorm with everybody. As far as delegating, at least with like this event that I'm organizing right now, I've been taking a lot of that on myself, but we are bringing everybody else into it as well, because we've been brainstorming as far as like how we can make this different and kind of make the Great Hall our own.
Mm-hmm.
But, really, it's just the working in activities, kind of filling in where he needs me to, as far as like if he has something going on, then I can step in into that leadership role.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm in my head, I'm kind of a cog in the machine, to be honest. I just want to help for the greater cause. So it's like
you help out wherever you can be needed.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. All
right. So are you guys considering expanding the days of the pantry being open?
Yeah. We actually just talked about that like last week. So now you want?
Yeah. Usually one is there. 2 to 3:30s at 3:30s. At 3:30 Tuesdays. I will be in there. Thursday is 2 to 3:30 as well. So we have these 2 days, and I believe is Hava doing a morning or no?
I don't know. She's very on and off. So, like, our dates are solid, for sure.
Okay,
though.
Our dates are solid. So, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 2 to 3:30, tell your friends, tell your mama, we trying to feed you, too.
All right. And do you know if any other community colleges are doing the same thing? I know you guys said the UCs and, like, the big colleges, but, like, community college-wise,
was doing something.
I'm not sure. I don't know. I just know the big colleges are doing it. Like, CSUN's doing it, too.
Right.
Yeah.
But you said Mission?
Valley.
Oh, Valley?
I heard tell.
Oh, okay.
But that's just hearsay as of right now.
And how are you making students and people aware of the Stash Club, other than you guys doing the paper plate event, right?
I'm talking about it all the time.
Okay.
Yeah, so kind of like word of mouth. And we also do like a lot of flyers, but I think we reach more people from word of mouth.
Word of mouth and social media.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of impromptu. I was supposed to be officially being the the food pantry this Thursday, but I was there last Thursday and I was like, wow, there's nobody here. How can we do this? So I started trying to push it up on social media. I put a couple things on my Instagram and on the Stash Instagram as well. So that's another technique that we'll be trying to be using as far as like bringing people in. Maybe that means us posting more memes. Yeah. Of like bring, memes. Just kinda, yeah, just trying to bring people in as far as, you know, using everything that's available to us.
Mm-hmm. Have you guys thought about maybe for people, because people are shy, right? So maybe what about if you guys do it kind of outside and inside? Have you guys ever thought about that?
That's what we're doing.
You guys are doing that right now?
No, we're going to start next week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. All right. So that's going to start. So how many students are in? Wait, I already asked that. My bad. Mm-hmm. So how many students, if it's okay to ask, you don't have to give away names or anything, but how many students are actually coming to the pantry right now?
So like we said, like an average of 3 a week. So we want to increase that number. Yeah.
All right.
And we will exponentially so. More flyers, more word of mouth.
Yeah.
You giving us the opportunity.
Yes, this is helping you guys out a lot. Yes. So what has the Stash Club accomplished so far?
So I think we accomplished a lot. Just even feeding 3 people a week is a great amount. But so far I think what we accomplished is getting the issue of student hunger out there and homelessness. And we also have been feeding people. So I think that's the best 2 accomplishments that we came up with so far or have done so far.
And has there been any struggles?
No, not really. Everyone's really supportive of this club, I feel like.
All right. So what's something you guys have learned being in a Stash Club? And then what have you guys learned from each other? So Juan goes first and then Jordan.
Okay. So the biggest thing I've learned, I think, is how to take on the leadership role, because it is a lot of work. And I don't know, I was always kind of a shy, timid person to take on a big role like this. But this club has given me like the extra push to do so. And I don't know, just becoming a better leader. I feel like that's what really got me. And what I learned from Jordan is I don't have to do everything on my own. Like I would always do everything on my own. But now I can just kind of not like come and slack off, but just give some work to Jordan, which I don't think I can handle like myself, because like the open mic night, I know if I did it, it wouldn't be as good as Jordan, just because he's been like, he has that background and he has that experience of the open mic night, and I don't know what's a good open mic night from bad open mic night. So that's how I delegated that work to him.
All right. And Jordan,
from this whole process, it's just been a matter of like engaging. I've been passive before, but this is something that I can get behind, not just, you know, working with the homie, but also just working on something outside of myself. So the engagement has been a great process. And even all of us just being in the stage we're in right now, we're building these skills in this, you know, this incubator called college. So, you know, I'm learning these skills and I want to be able to take this to a bigger scale. And I've definitely learned a lot. As far as just like watching how Juan operates, and even just seeing, you know, he's like, bro, I was up till 2 o'clock in the morning, but you know, he got those emails out. He did the same chem homework that I did, you know, and he got the lab done. He's there on time. So definitely learning leadership from him, and I want to be able to take that, you know, on the journey with me as well.
All right. Those are both beautiful answers. And what do you see Stash Club in the future? How do you see it?
I hope we actually get a room, like a food pantry room, to call our own instead of a just Lay's office. That's what I really see in the long-term run.
All right. And what would you like our listeners to take away from this interview?
That there's people here willing to help. All you have to do is just ask, or if you don't want to ask, just send an email and we'll find a way to help, or any way of helping you. I don't know. I just want there to be, like, knowledge that people are willing to help you if you ask for it.
All right. And Jordan?
And I would like you to take from this, from our perspective, is, like, that, you know, whether you are somebody that needs help or somebody in a position to help, that you have the power to change your circumstance, and it's just a matter of belief, and you can do anything that you're going to be able to set your mind to. But as well, it's just like specifically for our mission is like, we are here for you and we want to help you out. We want to ease your mind, ease your stomach so that you can focus on the things that are important so that you can grow. And then we know that you'll be able to give that back in the future and we'll start a great chain reaction. So like Juan said, we're here for you. And I wish I was slick enough to remember the email off top, but Stash Club Instagram, slide in our DMs and we will help you out.
All right. So tell the audience one more time the days you guys are open.
Please. Tuesdays and Thursdays, martes y jueves, dos a tres
y media.
Y tres y media.
Iris room 910.
Iris room 910.
All right, and you will see Juan or Jordan there. Mm-hmm. All right, guys. That's all the time we have. Thank you so much for tuning in.
My name is
Rebecca Paredes. This was Jordan and Juan. And I'll see you guys next week.